Titus chapter 1. We're going to read down through the first four verses. And if we go farther than that, that's great. But I just wanted to bottle those off because it's pretty much the introduction. Titus chapter 1. We'll read down 1 through 4. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time that we are spending in your word. We thank you for recording these things for our edification. We thank you for all those who've come out today. We pray for the body universal, for those who have a desire to learn more about your word, and those who have no concern at all. We know that salvation is a gift to be received by faith, plus nothing. We just thank you for making it unconditional and also for securing our salvation without works. We just thank you again for the time we spend here. We pray always that it's for your glory and for our edification. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Now, we moved on to Titus. We just got a Hebrew out of Hebrews, but that was the Hebrews was a carryover from the old class. And I'm picking Titus because this, number one, is short. And number two is dealing directly with the local assembly. When I say local assembly, which is the local gathering of the saints, which is what we do, which is where every assembly is. Oftentimes, if you go to a different assembly, people, they function different ways. They have different orders of service. And the fact that I told someone, they said, you never say church. I said, when they said, what church you go to? I said, oh, what you mean, what assembly to go to? And I do it on purpose. And they asked a question, like, why you don't say church? Because what? Because we are the church. If it's not a traditional building, then like we were talking about, Johnny, where it's not a traditional building with a steeple and an organ and a piano, they said, well, it can't be a church. But if you met in a lobby, or I know a church that met in a Burger King. So, like Corinthians say, when the church what? Comes together, then if you are the members of the church, the body of Christ, then it's not limited to a geographical location. It's wherever you are, guess what? Wherever you are, that's where the church is. You know what they need to sign? What's missing from the church? You are. That's true. That's because you can turn a church building proper into anything you wanted to. But you can't turn a church member, a member of the church, into anything you want it to be. So the Timothy's, Titus, those things clear up how the local church, what it is, and how it's supposed to function. So, and I think in this day, it's a good study for us. So when Paul writes to Titus, that look, this is 2,000 years ago, and we haven't established our identity yet as a church. Not us. I'm saying the professing church and its members still cannot properly identify the church. Am I saying that's right? Let me say it another way.
No, yeah.
It's today.
Yeah, they don't understand they're the church.
I don't think a lot of people understand that it's not about the brick and mortar activity. And so much so that what we do as members of the body of Christ is so far off from what God wants the church to do, it's hard to recover. So, when Paul writes to Titus, he says this, Paul, a servant of God, and I'll say this before we keep going, this is our introduction. This is the two things it helps me, and I hope it helps you. The two things that when you sit down to study the book is to keep in mind two things. Is, see if you guys remember this. Two things that you should remember is what? Well, I'm going to tell you. Is they were in there for a reason. I think that's why they were in there. They were out of ink. God's purpose. And I'm going to say God's people. And God's purpose and his people. I'm using this as
image.
Yes. Now, those are two. Can't see that? Okay.
I was thinking pleasure. Purpose.
Yeah, well, both of those are, it's his plan. He had no reason to do it, to include us, except for his good pleasure. But if you read with those two things in mind, then you'll understand, it'll help you understand what he's doing and why he's doing it and how he wants to use us. Okay, so he says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. And you get to the first verse, and then you start to... Now, I don't want to... I guess I do. I want to put it under the microscope, because when you look at every word, and then you look at the big picture, then I think the words begin to unfold themselves. So the very first, you say, Paul, a servant of God. And you have to ask yourself now, just with using those two, that beginning statement, you're talking about, here's Paul, and he says, now he's a servant of God, right? Then you raise the question, who is Paul? And you have to answer that question before you even go any further. Because if he doesn't have any credibility in your mind as a believer, then what he says afterwards won't have as much credibility. Because you think, well, who is Paul? And he's, by this time, when you get over to Titus, that question should be settled. See, in the Corinthian letter, it wasn't quite settled. So what he said, it was negotiable. You know what I'm saying? That's why he can say something like this. If any man think himself to be
prophet,
spiritual or what?
Prophet,
let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are what?
The commandments.
The commandments. See, he says it's not negotiable. Although they were kind of negotiating whether should I listen to him or not. So if they didn't, he says, if any man be ignorant, let him what? And he says, if a man despises the commandment, he despises not us, but God, who hath also given us his spirit. So that's just foundation, revelation, inspiration, preservation type things, where when you approach the Word of God, you have to consider it as what? And all Scripture is given by what? So when you read it, it has to be, you have to look at it as some definites in there. Otherwise, you'll replace it with what? With what we were talking about Friday. With what? With your imaginations. The root word, image, is you'll worship and serve whatever it is you want as opposed to what God has given. And we know that man should not live by bread alone, but by most of the words. The ones I like. But what? In that, rightly divided. So when Paul shows up and he says, Paul the servant, you know that he didn't take it on himself. As Galatians said, he says, I'm an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by what? He says, I got it. I got it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, he revealed it to me to give to you. What? Huh?
You were.
Okay. Right. I didn't know what you said.
I thought this was your
report. No. That's so. We don't have an issue with that, but the people you talk to may have an issue with that. So, whatever you say afterwards, if that doesn't get settled, the question will be this. Yeah, but. What does Jesus say? Not realizing that Paul is saying, this is fundamental, should be fundamental in your understanding. When he say all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, how did they get it? How the apostles and prophets, how did they get it?
By revelation, by inspiration.
So, he says, look, this prophecy of the Scripture came not in old time by the will of men. That means that they didn't write it down or they didn't speak it just because they wanted to. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That is, when they wrote, God said, write this down. Even when, hold your hand there and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 7, right. And let's see, 1 Corinthians 7 and 2 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 7. And just talking about Paul having that credibility before you even start off. He says, 1 Corinthians 7. Verse 6. He says this. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. So you look at that and you can say, well, this is not credible. Because Paul is telling you that what? It's not a commandment. He said, I speak it by permission. Permission from who? If I had permission, okay. If I had permission, do you think God would have Paul write something that he didn't agree with? As an apostle, do you think? Okay. But he says, I speak this by permission and not of commandment. And then he goes on to talk about what he wrote. And verse 40, same chapter, verse 40. He says, But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I what? I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Now that wasn't, he's saying, he says, I know this is not a commandment where it's etched in stone that you have to do it this way. But he's saying that
I'm applying all the things that I do know and the commandments that have been revealed to this situation.
And here's a man whose his judgment is skeptical. No, it's not. Tell you, his judgment is he's saying, I'm speaking this. Number one, he says, as one who obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. He's like, I'm not giving you anything that hasn't benefited me and that wouldn't benefit you. He says, and if the Holy Spirit didn't agree with what I'm saying as an apostle, guess what? It wouldn't be there. So when you, if you get into a situation where somebody starts pointing out things like that to you, we'll say, well, look what Paul said here. He said, that's not by commandment. You have to understand the gravity of revelation, the gravity of inspiration, and the gravity of preservation.
And you know what? I think it also gives us a situation where we can see that the words that the Lord does give us, that it's meant to be applied in everyday situations. It's that thought, that mental process of applying. He doesn't sit here and line out, okay, in this situation you do this, in this situation you do this, but we're to take the mind of Christ that we're given and use those things that he does instruct us to then apply to,
right,
you know, the situations of life that are not enumerated, you know.
You know,
more like the image over time.
Exactly. You can transform your mind.
The mind of Christ.
And I like what she said. It's, you think about this, because people are asking you, they ask you this. I'm using this because it's the first thing that came to my mind. I remember talking to a young lady, and she was like, show me in Scripture where God says, don't baptize. So I'm thinking, if you have to ask me that, that means I know you're not familiar with the doctrine that's in the verses, right? So if somebody, they say to you that was directly, for example, where is it in Scripture that God is directly telling me how to do this or how to do that? So there is, you might have some information here, some information over here, some information here, and when you put those things together, now, I'm, for example, another example is someone would say, well, you know, I want to get married. And instead of you saying, I'm praying for a husband, I'm praying for God to send me a husband, pick me a husband. He's going to pick me a husband. And you leave it up to him, you think, right? So here comes Mr. Smooth Talker, and he's talking to you, and he's going against all the doctrine that you do know. And you say, all of a sudden, God is compromising. When I say God is compromising, you know, look, he's not saved. He's not consistent. He's all the things that the Lord says to look for. Maybe he doesn't have them, but then you say, "But it could be him."
Well, there's that but.
I can fix him. I can change him. thing.
So, and I'm just saying this bad because, you know, practical relationships are paramount, are there at the forefront of our thinking. And that's by design because, you know, God is a relational God. So that's why, you know what, it's the family of God. It's brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, God our Father. So when he's using those terms, he knows what this is. That's when you get to Titus. What this is, what this life is, it's a microcosm of the macro. That means it's just an image of what the real is. So we have whatever relationships we have here, it should magnify with God. For example, we're not in Timothy, but he'll say this. He starts with this: wives, husbands, children, servants, masters, and he tells you how to relate to each other. And he always says this. He says, and it's always, it finishes up like, all right, let's get to Corinthians first, because I get sidetracked. 2 Corinthians 13. I'm already sidetracked, but I don't want to leave this verse without, since I gave it to you. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1. He says, "This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, as being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you." He's telling the Corinthians, he says, when I'm coming, he's doing that again, Sharon. He's like, look, he said, I'm coming. This is the third time, he says, and when I come this time, watch out. Since you don't think that I'm really inspired, since you don't think I'm really an apostle, since you don't really think that God is speaking in me, he said, when I come again, I'm going to show you some apostolic proofs. I'm going to have the big apostle stick with me. He says, the rod, right? But watch this. And this is consistent with Paul, or with grace. Drop down to verse 10. Eight. He says, for we can do... Okay, you know what? We might as well just start at verse 4. He says, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? That is, except you be a reject or disapproved, or really an unbeliever. You ever done something made others feel like you couldn't be saved? Let me say it again. Have you ever done anything that made others feel like you couldn't be saved?
Sure.
Or even maybe at one point where you felt like, if I was really saved, I wouldn't do this. Or couldn't do this. Before right division. Yes. Keep that in mind. Before right division, before who?
Paul.
Before Paul, you thought a lot of things that didn't apply to you. And you tried to do a lot of things that didn't apply to you. It wasn't because it wasn't written.
wasn't right at the time.
It wasn't right. Right. You're reading something that wasn't written directly to you, even though it was inspired and given by our inspiration, and God revealed it to those people. He says, but I trust, 13:6, but I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Here we go. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when ye are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord has given me to what?
Edification,
and not to destruction. Now, you remember the verse, the 2 Corinthians, the verse when we started off? Well, before we started off, when I was telling you about the helper of your joy? That's 2 Corinthians. He starts off with that. And everything he writes, it's an end to help them, and it's also for their edification. So being an apostle of grace is inconsistent with him to come with a disciplinary mind. Do you know how hard it is for him to do that? For example, when the man had his father's wife, and he says, hey, you got to put him out. And they put him out. And the time went by. And after the man had repented everything, they still had him out. And Paul writes, he says what? You got to let him back in. You're like, wait a minute. The same guy? Yes. He changed his mind. And Paul says, look, it's okay with me. So, you know, you think about that. And where Paul wants us to grow up. One more thing. I said, you know what? I can't. 2 Corinthians. We're in 2 Corinthians, right? Flip back to 12. 2 Corinthians 12. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about things as I'm thinking. I'm thinking about other things as I'm thinking. 2 Corinthians 12:14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome unto you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Do you remember what I just told you about the relations, the relationships? The children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desire Titus, and with him I send a brother. Did Titus make gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ. We do all things, dearly beloved, for what? For your edifying. You know what? I don't know what y'all think when I see that. When I read that kind of stuff, it just does something to me. You know, he says, He says that I'm doing all this. He says, I will very... He says, it's not even a second thought for me to do this. To spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, I get nothing in return.
You know, is that not the definition of the mind of Christ?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. This is the man who's writing to you. You know what?
He's not going to steer you wrong.
That's why we just went to those verses. This is the God that's writing to you. That's how you gotta look at it. This is what takes a man from Paul, from where he was, to where he is. The Spirit of God. So, you know, I was talking to Sarah, and it's like, God is a giver. He's a lover and a giver. And if you stick with God, guess what? You're going to be what? What are you going to be? What? You're going to be a... You're right. You're going to be a lover and a giver.
A new creature.
So, and it's not going to be a lover of you. You're going to be in the family and you're going to be thinking, you'll be thinking like Paul is thinking. Is you, then me. I was watching a commercial the other day. It was about the food bank. And there was, you know, they make you feel, they play on your emotions. You know, they showed the picture where there's a lady sitting there and she's looking all homely. And the kids are laughing and playing. And she's like, I don't know how many more days I can go with just water. But as long as the kids are happy and as long as they eat, I'm okay. And I thought that's what they use that to, so you can donate to the food bank. That's great. But I thought about the principle of it is they don't know that she's even going without. Because they're full, laughing, joking. And here's Paul where when he writes to Titus, when he says, walk we not in the same steps, Titus, Timothy, Silas, Epaphroditus, Tychicus, all these men have the same mind. So it was nothing for him to say, hey Johnny, go see Melissa. I don't have to tell you what to say. I don't have to worry about when you get over there if you're going to foul it up, because he's already indoctrinated. It's, you know what it's like this? If I can't be there, I do what? Send the next best person.
Yoke fellow.
You just send the yoke fellow, fellow laborer. If the father can't be there, he sends the son. That's where you have to get to that point. And when Titus... Did I say turn to another verse?
He started to, but you didn't give it to
the instructor,
sir.
Okay, I stopped myself. I stopped too soon then, because I forgot it.
Well, maybe go back to Titus.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to Titus, because that's where it's leading us back to. I'm getting you to see, where we started off with the first thing is Paul, and how... When he writes, you should be like E.F. Hutton. Anybody remember that commercial? Okay. Everybody listens. So when Paul talks, it's just unfortunate now when Paul talks, nobody listens. Because they think it's you. Although... Is Paul's what?
Been so demonized.
Demonized, right.
I mean, I've had people...
That's a strong word.
He's a misogynist. He's doing things. He wasn't supposed to be there. It was supposed to be, you know, well, I don't know, out for moral things. Because that's what secularists do to Paul.
Yeah.
Because they know he's, they got to discredit him.
You know, let me ask you a question before we go back to Titus. Why do you think so many people are opposed to Paul's message?
Because it's different.
Paul's, the scriptures.
Because it's a different traditions of
men. Traditions of men.
It's different than the apostles.
It's different than the apostles. Sounds different than Jesus.
Because he's not Jesus.
Because he's not Jesus.
People love that, you know, it's like, I think it was Jesus, following Jesus. And
yeah.
Because they really don't follow, yeah, they really don't quite follow the original apostles as much as the other, but because it was kind of in line with what Jesus was saying, Paul and everybody after is kind of like...
offshoots.
Yeah.
Nothing? Okay.
No.
You don't talk about it. You know, a reason I...
Paul speaking from a spiritual standpoint, he can identify with the spiritual Christ that's sitting in heaven, where the other apostles identify with the flesh that I know share. You see what I'm saying? They could identify with the other apostles because they were fleshly beings. They didn't understand Paul. Paul said, I did not get this from a man, but I got it from the risen Lord. See, that's the point people miss. And so, he just brings me back to the scripture where it said, so as he in the heavens, so are we in the earth. Spiritual beings. And until we transition our minds to be not Christ, but like Christ, or seeking his and feeling of his spirit to know him spiritually. See, everybody can put him in the manger and say he walked and healed, but everybody can't say he lives within me. Now let me show you how easy it is to live for him. Get it?
Right.
So that's the key right there.
That's excellent.
That's the key. He spoke to the risen Lord, the spiritual Lord, empowered him, taught him, instructed him. Psalms 23:26-3, he said, I'll guide you with my eyes. And this is the only thing Paul said, I count myself nothing, my life as nothing. Can we get to that point that we can be in his image, that we can walk and do and say as he, and yes, we've seen reprobate. Crazy. I have a young lady tell me, you need a bed, I say, I have one. And I appreciate
need a what?
Because he spoke.
You need a what?
I needed a banner.
A banner?
A what?
A banner. A covering.
Oh.
Yeah, a covering. And I appreciate the Lord because he said, I'm the Lord God of your banner. What are you looking for?
Okay.
So we're in different levels where people think, okay, when I tell them I don't go to church, I am the church. You see, there are people you're going to have to tell that. And the first thing the lady said, you need a banner. Oh, really? Do I?
Because you know what? You're not saying the typical things. Now, but you said something.
They think we represent. They think us evil. And we're not.
That's a good word.
No. As we go forward, now she said something. She said that Paul preached the risen Christ.
That's it.
But they all did. It's not just the fact that Paul preached the risen Christ. Because Peter did too.
Yes, he did.
And the 12 did too afterwards. But it's the risen Christ
that spoke to Paul.
What'd you say? It's the risen Christ. Right, according to the revelation of the mystery. See, they preached the risen Christ.
They did.
I'm saying they do too now. Even though it's blended in. But according to prophecy.
What happened and that what was fulfilled and what will be fulfilled in the future.
Right. So he makes that. Now, I like what Sharon said this. And Paul said this. He says, this is the Corinthians. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, and they are saying, you're not even an apostle. You know what? That's like your daughter saying, "You ain't my mother." You're like, "What?" So Paul, he said, "Look, I've been with you a year and 6 months, and you telling me I'm not an apostle? Doubtless I am to you." And they say this. What they're doing is comparing him, and he says, "We don't commend ourselves to you." That means I don't need your approval. And though there's men that do look for approval in other men. But he says, "Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh."
No more.
Look, yet henceforth, look, that was 2,000 years ago that he wrote that. From henceforth, he says, "Know we him
no more.
If any man be in Christ, he is what?
A new creature.
Old things
passed away.
Behold, all things.
All things are new."
So you know what?
Power of God. All right. Come on now.
Back up a little bit.
He's given us the ministry.
Now, you remember what I know y'all don't think I know what I'm doing, but I'm going to show you
something.
No, I'm just saying this for previous classes. Now, we talked about this last week. All things, the difference between those two things. In all things and all things. See, that's why, you know, that's why we go over those things over again, because when you're reading that verse, you read that verse, and because we didn't really, you know what, it's
all things are yours, all spiritual blessings.
In all things is dealing with
moral behavior.
You're right, your moral, practical behavior. You know, all things deal with your spiritual blessings and position. It deals with your spiritual blessings and position. So look, when you're reading verses, and then you just like this. It says, "Though we know Christ after the flesh, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are become new." He said, you can't look at a man now according to his, Melissa said it, according to his physical position. You have to look at him now as in a spiritual position.
Absolutely.
He ain't walking the earth no more.
What's the word after spiritual?
Blessings. I just put bless.
Okay, I can.
Blessings. That ain't no better. But, so you look at this, you could go back and say, Jesus walked 70 miles to get baptized, you should too. You don't know why he did that.
Make a law out of it.
See, if you stuck on the physical baptism, then you would never get the spiritual. If you stuck on the old things, then the all things, the new things, you will never get. Give you another example. We were talking about this Tuesday night. And look, this is a Methodist church. You know what they do on Sunday? They baptize. If you got somebody to baptize, they baptize. So I don't go in there and stand up on top of the box and no baptism, no baptism, no baptism. And I just went through some verses, and I said, you pick out the one that you think is relevant. Do you know, speaking of Jesus' earthly ministry, that Jesus never baptized with water?
Yep.
I got one, amen. Do you know that Jesus never baptized with water? Say it again.
He wasn't called to do.
Why not?
That wasn't the ministry God had given him.
Okay. Why not?
Well, he was a living water. Why would
how would he be that? I mean, Job baptized him according to the laws.
John's baptism was new. They didn't ask him what he was doing. They asked him why he was doing it. But he says, I'm baptizing you with water.
There's one that cometh.
But there's one that cometh.
There's one that cometh.
There's one that cometh.
After
me. Who is preferred before me. He says, I got the physical one. There's one coming after me. He's got the spiritual one. He said, that's the one you want to hear. So he comes and he says, he shall baptize you with what?
Fire.
Fire.
And
the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't get back to Titus. But this is how far off. They say the fire is what? They say it's the same thing. They say it's the same thing. He's telling you it's different. No. And he said the fire, he said, is unquenchable fire. He said he'll gather the wheat to the garner, and the chaff, he'll what?
Burn
it up. Do you see the difference between those two? Okay. He says, Holy Spirit. Now, I'm getting back to Titus. There's no way that Jesus would water baptize. Even they said they came to Jesus and says, hey, John's baptizing over here. And he's baptizing more than you. And Jesus said, we got to do something about that. We can't have him out baptizing me. We got to put in a water slide. No, he didn't say that. He said, you don't know what he said? Let's see what he said. John.
4?
Is it? Okay.
Well, John 4 is where it talks about that Jesus baptized.
Okay, John 4. That's it then.
But though he himself didn't baptize. Is that what you're talking about, that one?
Yeah. John chapter 4, verse 1. He says, before we read that, look at 3:22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he, watch the wording here, and there he tarried with them and baptized. See, there it is, Jesus baptized. Don't tell me that Jesus didn't baptize, we just read it right there, right? Not so fast. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. See, that's what, now they knew what it was. They knew what baptism stood for. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. You know, I just got that mixed up. I think I said it the opposite way. But anyway, he says, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I say I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. Verse 30. Just for, he must what?
Increase.
I must decrease. I I was deciding whether I was going to read another verse, but chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. What's the next verse? Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Now, this is just for your own spiritual exercise. Get your 10 friends and say, did you know Jesus didn't water baptize?
Did not,
and then wait for the reaction. It's really not that important, but it's just to see why you so hung up on it. If Jesus himself, no, why is it hard for you to believe that he can move past that when he said that I have two that are more important than that one?
Oh. And the water baptism was a purification for the priesthood. We don't have a priesthood.
That goes back to where, in the roundabout way, that was what Melissa said. And she said, Well, she quoted this. She said, I didn't get this from man, neither by men. If it wasn't anything new to it, then Paul could have just linked up with the 12 and they could have just kept going. So, when Paul said this, he says, Galatians chapter 1, and then Titus. And the only reason I'm doing this is, as it's going along, I know you all, like I said, I know you all don't think that I know what's going on. But I'm trying to get you to read the words with the right questions, with the right perspective. So then you can, when you're talking to other people, you have to get them to stop running over the words. Because you ever talk to somebody and they talk at you, they don't talk to you. You have to say, wait, you're not listening. I said, you know, you have to, because they are already ready for the rebuttal. That means you're not open. You're not open for more. You're trying to tell me.
They define words differently.
And let's
same words.
Make sure. That's right.
Whatever traditions or denominations or whatever. Because like what you were talking about, Jesus himself never baptized, what you were saying about that. If you say that to them, they're going to be like, hey man, Book of Acts, you know, Acts 38, Acts 9, Paul was baptized, you know, Romans, you know, 6.
I can't say that.
You know, Johnny, they just like our whole educational system today, they don't teach children how to think, they teach them what to think. And we've got the same problem in the church.
And that's where, you know what, we have to be, number one, be prepared to help them unlearn so they can relearn.
That's if they're willing, Tom.
If they're willing. And you'll know that too. Yes, ma'am.
That's why you don't have to create a ministry for yourself. You allow God, when he perks in your heart to minister to someone, he's already softened that heart to receive what you're about to give him. But if you go out there and create something, you get what I'm saying? Then that's you. your own workmanship.
Yeah.
You know you got a problem because that's a lot of times that happens. God has ordained work for you. And it's almost like he'll put it right in front of you. And as soon as that person says something to you, the word that you give them, it's going to be received because God has already ministered to that person's heart in that area. But if you go and just create something, then yes, you're going to get rebuttal, argument, and you ain't right. You ain't got to go through all that. He loves us so much that he protects us from that kind of garbage when it comes concerning with his word.
And I guess with the open doors is just make sure you're equipped.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying that you're going in with some self-confidence. I'm saying make sure you have the right message and the right spirit. Now, he says, what did I say? Galatians. He said this. He says, verse 11.
What chapter?
Chapter 1. He says, but I certify you, brethren, that the... Now, this is before we get to Titus. This is just some preliminary on Paul. When he tells you, when he says, this is who I am. Look, this is good for so-called grace believers. Is we say we're Pauline. And then, you know what? We're arguing all the time, fighting each other as believers. And you say, you know what? I'm like Jesus to the Pharisees. Now, he said, Abraham didn't do this. What you're doing? Abraham didn't do this. He said, if you were the children of Abraham, if you were Pauline, you wouldn't do this. Going in, you know what, as like Melissa said, you browbeating people who don't see what you see over the head, fighting them, kicking them, pulling them, dragging them, pushing them. He said, Paul didn't do this. If you're going to be Paul, he said, learn how to be Paul. He says, I'm giving abundantly, more abundantly. Though the more I love you, less I be loved. Okay. He said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. It's not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And I profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. Now, I'm going to say this before we go to the next verses. When you get to Titus next week, you're going to see him make a statement. He said this truth is after godliness. It's after godliness. And Paul said, my previous truth, he said, was after man. He said, my previous truth was after man. He's explaining it to you right now. One of the passages. He said that I profited in what? The Jews' religion. I was zealous in the tradition of my fathers. I was above my own equals. He says, that was after man. Right? I'm just showing. He says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son to me. In me. Big preposition. In to. Big contrast, that is. He said, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. And then he goes on to finish up. Now, he says, he revealed his son, what? In me. Say it again. He said he wanted to reveal his son in me. You said it earlier. What do we have to do? How do we get to the point where he's what? In us. He's already in us as believers. He says, how do we get to the point that his son is revealed in us? Working through us. Magnified in my life, whether it be by death or life. How do we get to more of him and less of you? How do we get to the image? And Paul said, when he writes to Titus, he said, now this truth I'm giving you, it'll do that. It'll do that. If you acknowledge it. He said, see, if he revealed it to you, then you can read it and go on about your business. But when he revealed it in you, it's got to what?
Let it out.
It's got to come out.
It's got to come out.
It's got to come out. You know what?
Relationship. That's what we cry out for.
Continued. Not just the relationship, but, you know what? I would say continued.
Is that where you take
enjoyment of that relationship?
And you apply it as wisdom.
That's what the acknowledging is. There's a difference between knowledge and acknowledging. I like to use it.
You act upon the knowledge.
I like to use that to help you understand it. So, your homework, week work, is you go home, read Titus every day. Every day.
Every day.
Yeah, it's not many chapters. You can probably read Titus. If you really sit down and you can read Titus in a commercial break.
It's three chapters.
Yeah. No, the commercial now like 15 minutes long almost. You can read Titus in a commercial break. Won't interrupt your favorite show. And then meditate on it. So when we come back again. If I say something that sounds off the wall, you'll know that. Well, not that, but if I say it, then you'll know, like, hey, that makes sense. Instead of, like, if I say in all things and all things, you look at me like, why do you keep saying that? Then after a while, you're going to look and say, why didn't you say that? Because I've been saying that. So we'll stop there and pick up next week. If something changes, I'll call.
Otherwise, we expect you here.
Right. So Father, what's that?
Call at 8:30 on Saturday.
No, that won't happen.
I'm
That's not funny.
let's
pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spent in it. We thank you just for recording these things. And Lord, we thank you for your son, the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, we just thank you for just being a part of your purpose and plan and enjoying it. We just pray for all these members here, Lord. Strengthen us according to our needs as we go forward. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.